I want to wish you a happy new year, and I want you to wish me one back because this is what we're going to be talking about. On the count of three, what I'd like for you all to do, all at one time, is say happy new year, you know, Pastor or Delbert or whatever that you call me. Just remember that there are children in the room, and so and you're in public. So one, two, three. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for doing that for me. Now, what does it mean when I say to you and hope or wish for you a happy new year? You know, a lot of times we do rhetoric. We just say things because somebody said it to us. What does it mean that you hoped and wished me a happy new year? What does that mean? It can mean a lot of things, I'm sure, but I know that one thing that means is that we want the person to whom we're saying this to have a better year, a happier year in the coming year, the new year, than they had before, right? I mean, that's what we're really trying to do. Well, why shouldn't they have one? I mean, why would they not have one? I mean, are there things that can cause us to not have a happy new year? And most of those things are things that, you know, we are pretty much in control of for the most part. We have these things that we can do to make our lives happier. The thing is, we just don't do them. Right? And, the video that I just showed you threw 10 things at you, I think most of us can relate to. I can relate to most of them. I'm not a big Coke drinker, but, you know, I mean, I can still relate to all those things, and I think you can too. So there are many things that we should do and that we could do and that we will do in this new year. We're going to do those things, but there's one thing. There is one great project that if you will do it, it will nearly guarantee you a happier new year. So this is what we're going to be looking at today. We all have a one project, you know, this great one project that if we'll do it, it's going to bring us happiness like we've never experienced before. So we're going to be looking at that. Now, we all have one. You have one. I have one. We have this main thing that we all have. It's the great one project, you know, that yours is going to be different from mine, and mine's going to be different from yours, even though we may say the same thing. There's different intricacies that are involved into it. There's different people and emotions and depths of all of these things that may become our one great thing. But there is one, and it's going to be determined by your life, what's going on in your life. It's going to be determined by your finances. Let me know that it's a little happier when you got some money. It's a little happier. You can have a happier new year if you can do something with your finances, or it's a happier new year if you control your habits. We all have habits, right? But can your habits cause you to have a bad new year? How about relationships? Can relationships, if you maintain relationships and work on relationships like we should, can relationships cause us to have a happy new year or a sad new year? So there's a lot of things that we can do. How about our marriages? How many would say, yeah, that could sure make the new year happy or not so happy? You know, how about our health? Does health contribute to our happiness in the year and in the coming year? Well, it sure does. It does. I think it does. But in all of those things that I just mentioned, we have some control on them. We can adjust them to a great extent. So these are the things. So what is the thing that this year, above everything else that you may do, that you may accomplish, that you really need to accomplish this year? What is it that will nearly guarantee you a better place in life and you be more the person that you want to be in the coming year than you are this moment? What is that thing? Now, this is not going to be new information. We all know. We all probably got an idea already of the thing that I need to have, make as my one great project. We all know that. We've probably, you know, already worked on it. Somebody that you probably love has already told you what it is. You know, and they say, you need to work on this. And probably several have said, you need to work on this a little bit. And you probably have. But for whatever reason, you lost focus, you got distracted, and you didn't accomplish it. You didn't complete your one great project. Now, all the times it may be that you've attempted to accomplish it. Now, we all have one. And what I want to make sure that we understand is, as I begin to process through this and go through this, I don't want you thinking, wow, I'm glad he's here, or I wish you were here. Or I wish mom and dad were here. Or I wish the kids were here. Or I wish my friend was here because they really need to do this. And I want you to focus on you. What will bring you a happy new year? These are the things. So I want to give out some suggestions to you. Just throw you some real fast. We'll give you five of them. How about the first one being to break a habit? Do you have a habit that must be broken? You know, we all have habits, don't we? And if you have a habit and you know it's removing happiness from your life, and if there was a magic button that you could push and that habit be gone, and you could jump maybe 3 months or 6 months down the road and that habit no longer be a habit, you'd push that button because you know that habit is hurting you. You know that habit is detrimental to you. Or how about another one? How about maybe a goal? That you need to finish up, a goal you need to accomplish in your life. You know, you keep looking at it maybe every day and you say, I got to get back to that. I got to finish that. Or maybe it's something like going back to school. It's a goal in your life. Maybe it's something like that. And you know that if you were ever to accomplish that, then you would be happier in your life. What about that? You got one of those? How about this one? How about the restoration of a relationship? Or maybe the termination of a relationship. You need a relationship you need to restore. You have a relationship maybe that you need to end. You know, relationships are so emotional, aren't they? They're so touchy. They're so feely. Relationships are so complicated. And we all have relationships in our lives. So maybe you've got one that you need to restore because this person, you had a falling out. And you just, if you knew that you could restore this relationship and if you could get them back into your life, that your life would be happier. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to take place. And, you know, there's some things that now have to transpire. And if you could push that magic button and you could jump 3 months, 6 months without all the fragments that fly around when you're restoring relationships or breaking off a relationship, if you could push that magic button and that relationship be restored, you'd push that button. What about one that you need to break off? A relationship that's detrimental. You know, a relationship you need to end, a secret relationship or some kind of relationship that you know is going to cause you problems and ruin. You may think it's bringing you happiness, but really what it's going to bring is destruction. Don't you think you need to maybe push that button? If there was such a thing, don't you think that if you could push that button and end that relationship and get past it without all the fragmentations that happen in relationships, you push it. How about this one? How about that? How about this one? How about retiring some debt? Would that make you happier? It'd make a lot of us happier, wouldn't it? I mean, we have debt and we know that we do. And every time, you know, I talk about debt or finances or giving, or you hear Dave Ramsey talk about debt and finances and giving, and you hear somebody talking about these kinds of things, you know, you feel guilty. And it affects your entire life. You can't take vacations that you would love to take. You can't minister to people like you would love to minister to people. You can't give. It affects your worship to God because you can't give the way you know that you should be giving. And you know it, and you face it all the time, but you never do anything about it. What if this time next year you had retired debt? Would that make you happier? I think it would. And I think that we control these things. You see, it's just that we've got to take care of these things. So what is it that's hanging over your head? What is it that's like an anvil or like a chop axe that's just there all over you all the time? That's taken happiness from you. And if you could just fix this one great project, if you could just let this be the project for this year, and if you could fix it, what would that one thing be? And you might say, well, Delbert, you know, I don't have one. I got four. I got five. I don't know where to start. I want to help you. I really do, because it is that way with some people. You know, but what if you just took one of them? Just pick one. You know, just put them all in a hat and draw one out. And that became your one great project. But there's a better way. Imagine being the person that you want to be. Imagine being living the life and being the person that you so would love to be. Which one of those? If you accomplished it, if you completed it this year, which one of those would get you closer to being that person? Would get you closer to living the life that you want to live and to be the person that you want to be? Well, that needs to become your one great project for this year. It will change your life and you'll have a happy new year. Now, there's a great story in the Old Testament that we're going to be looking at. I heard a preacher preach this. It was really, really good. And so I adjusted it just a little bit for us, but it was so good, I just wanted to use it. And so, so I'm going, it's in the book of Nehemiah. So if you have your real Bibles, then it's going to be the 16th book. If you'll turn to the front and just start turning, and you go 16 books in, you're going to come to Nehemiah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Okay, I'm going to mess up on a Joshua, Judges. Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Ezra, Nehemiah. Got it. So if you'll go there, then that's where we're going to be. And chapter 6 is where we need to be. Now what we're going to be talking about is in the days of Nehemiah. And let me set it up for us just a little bit. The time would have been around 400 to 440 B.C., before Christ. And what had happened is that Babylonian, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, had come down like 100 years prior to this and had totally devastated the land of Judea. The people of God had rebelled against God, and this horrible thing took place. And Nebuchadnezzar came in. He tore down a lot of the wall. He breached it and burned some of it. He destroyed Solomon's temple. He leveled it, and he just leveled the land. I mean, it was a devastating thing that happened to them, and this happened. Now, the people of God went into captivity. It's called Babylonian captivity. Maybe you've heard about it, or maybe you've even studied about it. But they went into captivity for 70 years. And then the Persians came in and defeated the Babylonians. Now the world was being ran and ruled by the Persians. And King Artaxerxes. Anyway, it's a difficult name to say. But he's the king now. And what he's doing is he's ruling and he's reigning. And the people have been released. Ezra has gone and rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem. Now, they have to have the temple because the temple is their center of worship. So they've got that built up so they can do their animal sacrifices and worship. And this is the time in which we're talking about. So we're like in this time frame here, like 30 years or so after the people have been released from captivity and the temple has been rebuilt, but now the walls are still down. And what this is allowing is the enemies of the people of God to just come in and just anywhere they want to. There's all these breaches in the walls, the gates are down, and they can come in and just attack the people of God anytime, anywhere, any way they want to come. So Nehemiah has it on his heart that he wants to go back and build the wall back around Jerusalem. This is his heart's desire. It's his one great project that he really wants to do. But the problem is that he's a slave. He's a Jewish slave for the king. And what his day job is called, his title is a cupbearer. Now what that means, he's a wine tester. He tastes the wine that the king is going to drink. So obviously in those days, you know, they would assassinate the king by giving him poison wine. So his job was to make sure the wine wasn't poison. He'd drink it first, and then if it was okay, then the king would have it. So that was what he did. But he was a slave. And he just couldn't go off and do these kinds of things because he was a slave. But not only was he the king's cupbearer, he was the king's friend. The king really respected Nehemiah. He admired. Nehemiah was a noble man. He was a good man. So he asked the king, and he wanted to go back and help his people. And so he was praying about it. And so one day he was before the king, and the king noticed that he was down. He was just downtrodden. He was downcast. So the king and the queen asked him and said, "What's wrong with you, Nehemiah?" And he said, My people are being devastated. They got all these warlords, and they're coming in, and they're ravaging my people. The walls are down. They have no protection. They can't defend themselves, and my heart is just breaking for my people. He says, "Would you allow me to go and rebuild the walls for my people? Would you allow me? Not only would you allow me to do that, would you finance it?" And the king said, "Yeah, I'll do it." And he let him go. He filled him up with all the stuff that he needed to have to rebuild the wall. And so he goes and he rallies the people together. He casts a vision. He gets everybody together. They're rebuilding the wall. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Why did you go through all this? Because when he's building this wall, the enemies start coming. Now, here's the deal. When you begin to really work on your project, the enemies are coming. There are breaches in your wall. And as you begin to work on them, and you begin to make progress, especially, the enemies are coming. So with all that said, Let's read. And in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem, you know, these are the names of their enemies. Now, your enemies are strange too. But Sanballat and Geshem sent to me this message. So Nehemiah is the one actually writing and talking here. He says, come, let us, this is what the enemy said, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. And that's what we really need to start saying to the enemies is, oh no. But anyway, but they were scheming to harm me. Now, I want you to say that back to me. Would you say that back, that my enemies are scheming to harm me? Would you say that my enemies are scheming to harm me? And you know that, don't you? Just like Nehemiah knows that. They're scheming to harm you. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project. There's our title. I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Nehemiah knew that they were going to harm him. They were going to hurt him if he were to come down. And if he were to come down, then the work would stop. Now, there's something in all of us. We have this wall around our world. And there's breaches in the wall, in every world, in every wall around every person's world in this room, there are breaches. And this is where the enemy comes. And this is where habits are formed. And this is where addictions take place. And this is where all these things come with. The enemy comes into our lives because it's not fortified. It's breached. It's broken. It's burned. And so there's a wall around your world. And you can climb up and begin the work, but the enemy's going to come. And the more you accomplish on that, more upset the enemy's going to become. And he's going to try to get you to stop. He's going to try to get you to come down. But if you come down, the work stops. Now, there's no telling how many times you've attempted to prepare or repair this breach in your wall around your world. No telling. But every time, if it's still there, what's happened is you come down. What we've got to do is learn to do what Nehemiah did. We've got to be able to learn to say, I am doing a great project and I cannot go down. I cannot allow myself to go down. This project is too great. It's too important. It touches too much. It determines my life. It determines how the enemy will come against me. And I am doing a great project. And I cannot allow myself to go down. You know, what they said there is he knew that they wanted to harm him. What they really wanted to do is to kill him. They wanted to assassinate him. They wanted to stab him to death. They wanted to kill him. What you've got to know and what I've got to know is that if we don't fix the breach in our walls, the enemy wants to harm us. And he'll come in that breach that we don't repair. The enemy's intention is to harm you. He is scheming to harm you. And what we've got to do is we've got to stay on the wall. If we come down, the breach isn't fixed. The wall isn't repaired. And the enemy's going to come and the enemy's going to harm us. Does the enemy want to harm you with your finances? I mean, does he want you to get financially liberated? He wants you to build the wall and fix the breach so that you can be financially free and have the monies that you have to really help you live a happy new year. Does the enemy want you to correct your habits? No. He wants you to use your habits to destroy you and harm you and hurt you. How about, does the enemy want you to repair relationships? Does he want you to forgive? He wants you to hate. He doesn't want you to forgive. He doesn't want you to restore relationships. He doesn't want you to break off negative relationships. He wants to use these things to harm you. How about with your children and your grandchildren? Do things that we do in our life, if we don't repair breaches in the walls around our world, if we don't repair these breaches, do they have an effect on our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren? See, the enemy wants to harm them because we won't fix the breach. How about our marriages? Does the enemy want to kill your marriage? What can we do to stop it? Repair the breach. Stay on the wall. Don't come down. I'm doing a great project. I cannot allow myself to come down. What about your health? Does anybody want to ruin your health? Will he kill you? The thief cometh not but to what? To rob and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So we've got to understand that this is the deal. This is what's happening. And we've got to learn to say what Nehemiah said and do what Nehemiah did. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. I am doing a great project, and I cannot come down. I cannot allow myself to go down. What we need to do, just to remind ourselves of this, is like with our children and our grandchildren. Maybe you've got big children like I've got, but I've got little grandchildren, and I can rub their heads and, you know, mess their hair and touch them. And I can say, I'm doing a great work. I have a great project going on here. I'm carrying on a great project, and I cannot allow myself to come down for them. The enemy will ruin them. With my children, I can hug them and I can remind myself, I am doing a great work, and what I do has an effect upon them. And I cannot allow myself to go down. Husbands, we need to hold the hands of our wives. And we need to say, I am doing a great project. She needs me. And I need her. And I cannot allow myself to go down. See, it's more than just about me, and it's more than just about you. This is so impacting in our whole lives and the walls around our world. In our world, it so is determined by what we will do and what we refuse to do concerning repairing the breaches in the walls of our world. What about in your health? What about in your health? You know, what we need to do is lay our hands on ourselves and say, I am doing a great work. And I cannot allow myself to keep defiling my body and keep doing things to my body that's hurting it. I'm doing a great work. I'm doing a great project, and I cannot allow myself to let my body go. I got to fix the breach. How about in our finances? Lay your hands on those finances. Lay hands on your checkbook. Get those bills that you want to retire and put your hand on them and say, I am doing a great project, and I cannot allow myself to remain in financial bondage. I have got to fix the breach. Wives, you need to take the hand of your husband. And you already know he's really a piece of work already. You already know that. But you need to remind yourself, where would he be without me? He would have eaten himself to death. He would have drank himself to death. He would have smoked himself to death. He would eat wrong. He'd probably be dead. And you're carrying on a great work. And though you want to come down sometimes, you got to say, I cannot go down. I cannot allow myself to go down. He needs me. My family needs me. My children need me. My grandchildren need me. I'm doing a great work. And college students and high school students and middle school and grammar school students, listen, the enemy wants to get you too. And he's going to use everything he can to deter you and get you off the wall. He's going to try to get you going off and doing drugs and going off and doing alcohol and going off and do all sorts of things that are going to ruin your future. Mess you up for life. And the enemy wants to do that to you, but you got to say, I'm doing a great project. What I'm doing now is going to determine my future, my success, or my failure. And I'm doing a great project, and I cannot allow myself to go off with you. I cannot allow myself to do what you do. We have these great projects that we've all have the opportunity to do. We all have the opportunity to repair so that we can have a happy new year. We can have a life that matters. Be the person we want to be. Have the things that make us happy and make others happy as well. We can do this. I know, we know this. This isn't new information. I haven't given you any new information. This is something we all are aware of, and probably right now, every single one of us knows the great project that we need to have in our lives. Right now, we probably know what that is. That's not the challenge. The challenge isn't knowing what it is. The challenge really isn't even getting out the ladder and climbing up on the wall so that we can begin the project. That's not the challenge. You know, we've done that 100 times. But the challenge is to stay up there and to say, I am doing a great project and I cannot come down. That's the challenge. And that's where it gets tough. And that's where it really begins, the rubber hits the road. Now, in the book of Nehemiah, they weren't done yet. I want to read this verse to you. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, 4 times they sent me the same message. And each time I gave them the same answer. Will the enemy just stop because you say, I'm not coming down the first time? You know he doesn't, because you've probably done that. You probably got past the first temptation or the first time that the enemy tried to lure you down and get you down so he could harm you. You probably withstood that one. But he's going to come back again. He's going to come back again. He's going to come back again. He's going to do everything he can to get you off that wall so he can get into your life through that breach that he's created and harm you and hurt you. Rob you and kill, destroy. That's what he wants to do. You know, and I watch this so many times. He comes again and again. I watch this every Sunday nearly. You know, we come in and you know, and we sing and we clap along and we praise God and we have this big time and you hear pretty good teaching and you know, and so you know, we're gonna make that decision. We get the ladder out and we go up the wall again. But then we ignore the breaches. We ignore that breach that's in our finances. We know it's there. We just ignore it. We ignore the breaches that are in our relationships. We know we should forgive. We know we should repair, but we don't. We know we should cut off relationships, but we don't. We just ignore it. Again and again and again and again. And you know, there's occupation. There's things about our occupations that we do that hurt our own occupation. Like going back to school and getting more education so we can do better at our occupation. We know that we should, but we ignore it. We continue to do things that we know are damaging our children and damaging our grandchildren. Has going to have an effect on them. We know we're doing these things, but we just ignore it. We see the breaches in our marriages. We just ignore it again and again and again and again. We see what we're doing to our own bodies, the breaches in our own health. We just ignore it again and again and again. So what we've got to learn is to do what Nehemiah did. We've got to be able to say, I am doing a great work, a great project, and I cannot allow myself to come down. Because he's going to come again, he's going to come again, and he's going to come again. And they weren't done with Nehemiah. They tried some more things. One thing they did is they attempted to spread rumors about him. They were hoping that the king would hear about this wall, and they created this rumor that what Nehemiah was doing was creating his own kingdom so that he could fight against Persia and have his own little kingdom. So that's what they began to say about Nehemiah. I want you to know that people will talk about you when you stay on your wall. When you try to repair, they're going to talk about you. They're going to spread rumors about you. Another thing that they did is that they got to one of Nehemiah's friends. Shemaiah is his name. They got to his friend. And his friend tried to get him to stop building the wall. Shemaiah told him, there's people in this city that want to kill you. And you can't go out there. You can't get up on that wall anymore. You need to go and hang on the altar because the people are planning to kill you. Nehemiah says, No, I am doing a great project and I cannot come down. I cannot go down. I can't allow myself to go down. Now, I just want to tell you, you know, your friends that you call friends, and some of them are well-meaning, but what they will attempt to do is stop you from repairing your wall. They'll try to get you to do things that they want you to do. They'll try to get you to go off with them and do things because they think you're their friend. But what they're going to do is they're planning to harm you. I had a situation like this. Just tell you a quick story. We Judy and I got out the ladder and we determined that we were going to do a great project in getting out of debt. I was so tired of being in debt. And we had to get out of debt. And so we got out the ladder and literally, and we built a house. and we got out of debt. I'll tell you just a little bit more about that shortly. But we did this. And we skimped on everything because we wanted out of debt. She would buy generic colas. You know what I'm talking about? She wouldn't get the real Cokes and those. She would get the generics, the colas. Because we'd save, you know, a little money there. I would reuse coffee grounds. I learned how to do that pretty well. You know, I could use the old coffee ground and put just a little bit of new in there, and it tasted pretty good. And because we were so desperate to stay on that wall. We're so desperate to get out of debt. One day, I was home, and this friend of mine come driving into my driveway and comes into the house. And we went to church with a guy. We'd been fishing together. We'd, you know, spent some time together. And he comes into my house. He says, "Dublin, I want to talk to you about something." I said, "Okay. What do you want to talk about?" He says, "You're cheap. You're a penny pincher. You make Judy buy cheap colas. You reuse your coffee grounds. People are talking about you, Delbert." I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He knew I was on the wall. He knew I was attempting to do everything that I possibly could to get financially liberated. I was repairing that breach in my wall. But I want you to know that, and the point is that the enemy will use anything possible to stop you from building your wall. Use your friends. But you got to say, I am doing a great project. I cannot go off with you. I cannot do what you're doing. It's going to mess me up. He'll use rumors and people talking about you. You got to say it. I'm doing a great project. I don't care what you say about me. I am cheap. I am. I'm going to do this. I am going to repair this breach. And what was amazing is how it rolled out. He'll use anything he can. And then next verse that I want to read to you. So this is in verse 15. It says, "So the wall was completed." You can do this. You can complete the wall. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul. Now, that's just a month in the Hebrew calendar. But in 52 days, that's amazing. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you're going to repair the breach in your wall in 52 days. But in a few months' time, you will see the difference. You will begin to see it being repaired. You will be able to see some success happening. But that's not really the point that I want to point out here. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Now, leave that up there just a second because I want you to say back to me, "Help." Just say the word "help" on three. One, two, three. Help. Help. Now, what I'm pointing out and what I want you to see is God didn't do it for them. They didn't go to bed one night, wake up the next morning, and the wall was fixed. But he helped them. What I want you to know is that God wants to help you. He wants to assist you in this. He's not just going to leave you up on that wall all by yourself. He wants to assist you and help you, and he will. He'll help you. And it'll seem nearly miraculous. It'll happen so fast. It'll happen so quickly. It'll happen so easily because God has helped you. Now, we could stop right now and get out a little early. We could quit and we all know what our one thing is that we really need to emphasize and let become our great project this year. And we all know that we need to get out the ladder and get up on the wall and we need to stay up on the wall. We all know that. We've covered that pretty well. And so I could quit and we could go home, but you know that's not how I do, and you know that's not how I work. And so what I want to do is I want to poke you a little bit. I want to provoke you. I want to make you a little mad. Not at me, though I probably will be the target, but at the breach. that you got to refix, you got to repair. God will help you. But I want to point out some specifics. I want to really poke us a little bit, make us think. Some of us drink too much. I'm not talking about colas, and I'm not talking about Coke, and I'm not talking about water. We drink too much alcohol. And you know you do. Let me tell you how you know if you drink too much. Somebody has come to you and said, I think you drink too much. It's not complicated. And what that probably did was make you mad. Made you angry because you drink too much. Or maybe you don't remember it because you drink too much. And they did this not because they wanted to be mean to you or hurt you. And they didn't do it the first time, second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. But it got worse. And finally they said it to you because they care about you. And they want you to have a good life and not be angry. To be able to enjoy life with them. So what you need to do this year is you need to get your ladder out, get up on your wall. You need to start repairing your breach. And when the enemy attempts to get you down, what you've got to do is you've got to say, no, I am carrying on a great project and I cannot allow myself to come down. It's too important. And if you will, God will help you. And you'll find yourself not drinking too much. Let's do some others. How about a prescription drug problem? You know, you had discomfort, and so you go to the doctor, and the doctor gives you drugs, powerful prescription drugs, and you became addicted to them. So you ran out of drugs because you took too many, and now you get another doctor. So now you have doctors prescribing these drugs, and you're addicted to these things. And it's messing your life up. You can't think. Your brain is being fried. You can't focus. You're so emotional. And it's destroying your family. It's destroying, if you're married, it's hurting, damaging your marriage. It's injuring your children. It's injuring your grandchildren. It's a breach in the wall around your world. And if you don't fix it, it will destroy you. So what you got to do, get your ladder out, get up your wall, stay there. Begin preparing the breach that's in your wall. And when the enemy tries to come, and he will come 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, come, until you finally repair that breach. When you get that, and if you will, if you stay up there, God will help you. And miraculously, you're going to get free from that. Because now, unless you do it, right now, the drugs... See, there's some justifying it into it because you did have discomfort. You did hurt. But now the drugs have become a bigger problem in your life than the discomfort. And until you fix that wall, that breach in your life, you're going to keep being devastated over and over and over again. Some of us smoke too much. Well, we enjoy smoking, so we became addicted to nicotine. And so people who really love and care about you have said, I wish you'd stop smoking. Well, what's wrong with smoking? It's killing you. They're not saying it to you to be mean. They don't want to cut out something that you enjoy doing. But they want you around next year. They want it to be a happy new year. And they want you to be there for your children and for your grandchildren and for your great-grandchildren. They want you around a long time. They're concerned about your health. And so your goal, your great project this year has got to be your health. You already feel it. You already know that your body isn't functioning like it once did and like it now could. You know this has had detrimental effects on your life. And you need to get your ladder out. Get up on the wall. Start preparing it. Preparing your breach. And if you will, God will help you if you won't come down. And you know how that is. You probably attempted to stop it 15 times. He's coming back. But if you get God to help you, It's miraculously going to happen in a short, short time. Some of us have internet addictions. I don't have an internet addiction. I hardly go on the internet. I don't go on a lot, but I have a computer addiction. I love what I do. I love it. Every waking minute, I'm studying, or I'm writing, or I'm doing web stuff, or I'm our website stuff. I'm doing videos. I love what I do, and I have to have a computer to do it. We go on a little trips like this past Christmas. We went down, and I was only gone 1 week. I don't, you know, Delbert's back. What come on. But I was on the we'll go on our trips. And my computer is going.
Together, we can change the world.
Why don't you take your computer? Well, I don't want to do that. I want to spend time with my kids. I want to spend time with my grandchildren. I don't want to be online. So she doesn't take hers. It makes me feel bad. So maybe that's a breach that I have really got to think about this year, you know, and do something with. But internet, you know, there's social media that's going on, and there's all these other things that are online. There's games and all this stuff. And some of you can't stay offline. You're thinking you can't focus on what you really need to be focused on because you can't wait till you get back online. And that's the good bad. See, there's the other end of it, where it's horrible stuff happens online. You know, there's pornography. It was so interesting that yesterday I was working. I was on this very point. I was working up this very point. The phone rings. And who's calling me on Saturday mornings? 9 o'clock in the morning. So I look and look at caller ID. I'm looking for it to be a telemarketer. People want to come preach at your church or whatever. So they say so-and-so ministry or something like that. Well, that didn't say that. Didn't look like a telemarketer, but it was a number from Florida. Florida. I don't have any telemarketers calling me from Florida. What's Florida? So I said, well, I'm going to answer it. If it's a telemarketer, I'll hang up. So I answered at LifeGate Church, and this guy said, and it was a young voice, and now young isn't what it used to be, but it's younger than me. And he said, my name is, and he told me his name, and he said that he had a problem, and that he was doing some research, and he found an article that I had written, and it was on the website, and that he wanted to know if, and it was about the power of words. And he said, if I want to know if it will help me. And he says, I know I need to tell you about me and what I'm talking about. And so he began to tell me. He just uncovered himself. I mean, he said, I'm addicted to pornography. He said, listen, it's so easy now. I get it on my cell phone. I get it on my iPad. I get it on my computer. I watch it at work. I watch it in the bathroom. He said, I'm a mess, and I need some help. And what he was really kind of getting around at, he had read some of the things that we had written. He really wanted me to pray for him and cast the devil out of him and all that stuff. And I was telling him, I said, listen, I said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. But I said, that's really not how it really works most of the time. I said, now God can do whatever God wants to do. He's God. But what I have learned, and I went through the whole Nehemiah thing. I said, what you got to do, man? You got to get up on the wall. You got to stay on the wall. You got to prepare the bridge. You can't come down. You know, until the thing is completed. I said, this is what you've got to do. And so we talked a long time. We talked a good while. You guys were having the men's meeting, and I was talking to this guy on the phone. And he was letting me know, you know, that he needed it. And I went through this whole thing. But what I'm wanting you to see, what I'm wanting you to know, is that if that is your deal, if that's your problem, if that's the breach in your wall, it's messing your head up. That's what I told him. I said, man, you're messing your mind all up. You can't think. If you can't go to the bathroom without watching porn, you're in bad shape. You know, if the vision that you have of women has to be so defiled that you only see them as objects. And I told him this. I said, you got to get up the wall. And if this is kind of where you're, listen, I want you to know, it's going to get worse. It's like not just this, but any breach in our wall. Like if you get a leak in the roof, it doesn't fix itself, does it? If you have a leak in the roof today, this time next year, what will that leak? Will that leak have been fixed, or what will happen with that leak? That leak will be worse. And that's what happens in our lives. Our lives don't appreciate if we don't address these breaches in our walls. What happens in our lives is they get worse. They depreciate. Because the enemy is scheming to harm you. Harm me. No, it affects the whole thing. So if that's your deal, what you got to do is get your ladder out. You got to get up the wall. You start preparing the bridge, and God will help you. God will help you. And some of it's his finances. Some of us have problems with our finances. I've got to quit. But you have problems with your finances, and you just keep letting it go. You don't prepare the breach. What you need to do is what Judy and I did, moved in with my mama. You need to sell out everything. Get yourself straightened out so you can manage your finances. You need to move in with your mama or your spouse's mama or somebody's mama. You need to find a mama that you can move in with so that you can control your finances. And you can get those things under control. Because it's not going to get better. And some of us, it's school. You need to go back to school. Your occupation is hindered because of your education level. You need to go back to school. You didn't graduate or you quit college. And now you can't go on and have the life you want to have and make the money that you're capable of making because you don't have the education. Then that needs to be your wall and you need to get up there. We live in the United States of America. We can go to school. We can find a way to go. I did. I had to go back to school. I hated my job. I wasn't having Happy New Year's. I was having horrible New Year's. I had to go back to school. You need to go back to school. With some of us, it's relationships. It's your marriage. Or it's maybe a relationship that you need to restore, a relationship that you need to break off. You've got these secret relationships. You need to stop. They've got to stop. They're going to ruin you. They're going to destroy you. And none of these things that I've talked about are easy to do. None of them. They're all difficult. But if you will get on the wall and you will begin to repair the breach, and if you'll do it, God will help you. Now, let me read this last verse, the same verse, one more time to us. Just put it up there and let me read it off it. It's verse 16. It says, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. What a witness. What a witness it was to everybody around. That will you be able to say that next year, this time? Look what happened in my life. Look what God did for me. It's not easy. But if you'll stay up there, God will help you. He will. He's going to do that for you. Now, we all know what our one thing is. I really believe that. I believe that you all know what your one thing really is in your life. And I think you know that what you got to do to have a happy new year, to be better than next year than you are this year. I know you know what you need to do. You got to get up on the wall. I know you got to stay on the wall until it's completed. And you can do it. And God's going to help you. You know all that. That's not the difficult part. And right now you're probably thinking, you know, I know what it is, and I really want to work on this. I'm making my mind up right now. But some of you have done that. But we're in this room. We walk out those doors, what happens? What do? We just do it again and again and again? Are we going to really make our mind up? Because, see, we really don't know what hangs in the balance. We don't understand what hangs in the balance for our mental condition. We don't know what hangs in the balance for our physical condition. We don't know what hangs in the balance for our emotional condition. We don't know what really hangs in the balance of our lives for our relational aspects of life. We don't know what hangs in the balance for our finances, for our financial condition, or for our marital condition. We don't realize that our not preparing this breach is so necessary to maintain marriages. Our we don't know what hangs in the balance concerning our children or our grandchildren or our occupation. And it's easy to feel it in here. It's easy. This is what I do and this is what we do here. You know, we want you to feel it. And it's so easy to feel it while you're in this room right now at this moment. But what happens when we leave here? Will you do it this year? Will you be able to say next year, I had a happy year? And if this year is better than last year, man, oh man, what a happy year I'll have next year. Are you going to have a happy new year? Because it's determined by our staying upon that wall and repairing that breach. Will they be able to say, you know, this was done with the help of our God? Are you going to be able to do it? Will you do it? Will you complete your great project? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do. Lord, I pray that every person here is determined in their own lives to prepare the breach in the wall around their world, and that they'll be able to accomplish that one great project in their life that will make them and help them and ensure that they have a happy new year. So, Father, that's what I pray for every single one of us, that we'll all be touched by you in a special, special way.